Just on the last episode, I talked about, and I even pulled the clip up of French Montana saying that after seeing the Nipsey Hussle video, he didn't want to buy his block back. Y'all know what direction I'm going. Cam Newton is creating opportunity for individuals. Like the 7-on-7 football league or whatever. I assumed that it was for people who couldn't get opportunities to get seen. And Cam Newton, a man that been in the Super Bowl, even though he took that L to Peyton, shout out to them Tennessee Vols. He can create opportunity for you to get seen, man. He can put you in positions you can be seen. And a lot of people are talking about the fight. And they talking about how Cam stood on business, how he handled his business in the fight. But my perception is, why are you so accessible, Cam? You shouldn't be that accessible in that environment. I know you having fun and doing your thing, but you shouldn't be that accessible. Another thing that came to mind when I seen that is that Cam could have been shot. We living in an environment where everyone is disgruntled. Everyone is complaining about something. Everybody is trying to get views, likes, subscriptions, shares, and be monetized off of being upset with somebody else or having a problem with somebody else. We living in strange times right now. And I come up in an era. I was born 1980. I'm an 80s baby. We was taught to say, yes, ma'am. No, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. We was taught that way to be respectful. And this generation of youth for individuals, they highly disrespectful. But just last year, if y'all can remember, I wish I had the clip. I'm just off the top of the dome right now. I seen Cam going back and forth with two kids. He was going back and forth with those kids. Like, I know he's from the environment. I'm from the environment. But you got to respect your position, dog, and you just got to remove yourself from those type of activities. I know we want to stay who we are. We want to stay fly, fresh, and the jiggy nigga and all of this old type of stuff. But it comes a time where you evolve. I'm starting to think that people don't believe in evolving past and from where you come from. Real talk. It's just like, I'm happy to see that when they was tussling, Cam didn't swing at nobody. He can't be sued. If I'm a lawyer and I'm looking at that video, I don't think he can be sued. Because he didn't swing. He was just defending himself. He grabbed the one young man by the dreadlocks and drug him around. He pushed one off of him. The other one was holding him. He was reaching for the other one, trying to push him up off of him. It was entertaining, but man, sometimes we got to be tired of the foolishness, man. Let's get into the podcast, man. On this episode, we're going to be talking about everybody's disgruntled and all the foolishness going on the internet.
Jackson podcast.
So I was on Patreon. When was it? Saturday? Monday? I don't know. Monday. I think it was Monday. The Patreon Monday. Joe Budden, he had what's Buddy's name? I done forgot Buddy's name already. Donnell Rollins on the podcast. He had Donnell Rollins on the podcast. And Donnell Rollins is about to come out with a special that's directed by, I'm forgetting people's name right now. And that let y'all know I don't be in the bullshit like that. Because I can't even remember celebrities' names. Because I don't even care about the dumb stuff. But Donnell Rollins, he has a special executive produced by Dave Chappelle. And he was on there promoting his special. And he was talking about the state of comedy. He was talking about how all comics are like beefing right now. People talking about each other. He's even in a beef with another comic who spoke bad on his homeboy, Dave Chappelle. And he was saying that I can go on interviews and say a lot of things, but I don't. I stay reserved because I want to remain positive.
And the first thing they said, they warned me, they said, controversy sells. I said, but I'm not in the business selling that. I'm in the business selling jokes. Uh-huh. I could come up here. I got so many of those underlining stories. I could come and just bust shots everywhere.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Speak into the mic and say them.
Yeah. No, see, that's right. He know how to get the numbers
please,
up.
Please, tell us something
knows,
right now.
He knows how to get the numbers up. He knows, but that's not my brand. I was talking to one of my content creators, and I said, man, without all this said, I want to stay positive. He was like, yeah, Unc, we got to stay positive. He said, because negativity and toxicity don't win. I said, you're absolutely wrong with that. They win. They win.
Yeah, they
win.
Yep.
They win more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's always going to win. And even some of these platforms, you could probably want to have a certain conversation, but in your brain, you're like, that's not going to pop. That's not going to pop. You can feel, when you do this shit, you can feel what's going to be a viral moment and what's going to move it down.
Salute to the good brother. Salute to the good brother, Donnell Rollins. That's true, man. Don't nobody want to get on YouTube and hear no educational conversations or hear you talking about positive stuff. People want and people click on ignorance, fights, who got shot, who got murdered, who beefing today, who talking about such and such. And it's two people that got a platform I'm about to switch the topic up to, but it's still in the everyone's disgruntled. It's just about everybody being disgruntled. Like, I'm disgusted with my own people at this moment, to be honest with you. And people are coming at Shannon Sharpe head heavy. Heavy. I never thought that men cared enough to be talking about other men the way that they are in this time and in this era. People are just, I can't get upset with another man to be angry about whatever you got going on, dog. I just can't do it. That's just not me. And Shannon Sharpe and Mace had a back and forth going on. Shannon Sharpe called him a fake pastor. Everybody who's been talking about Shannon Sharpe as of recently, they haven't hit him with, they came in the wrong angle, calling him gay and all of this old type of stuff. But I got something to say about what May said, because it's crazy to me.
Yeah, you saw they out there playing with me, right?
What happened there?
Man. No, I want to address it. I'm going to wait.
Why are we always waiting to address it? What happened, though? What happened exactly?
Yeah, boy, to chose to target me about the sets and the working out and all that. He called me a fake pastor and all that. I want to address it. I want to address it.
Who called you this? What's going on? I'm late to the party.
I don't want to say his name. I don't want to say his name. When we was talking about the dips and the sets and all of that. And Mike Epps.
Oh, and Mike Epps.
Yeah.
Shannon said something to you?
He called me a fake pastor. Somebody sent it to me. I wanted to tell him, put the camera on me. I'm just going to go, you know, from the jump. Listen, Shannon. I'm not the one to play with. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to take that road. I'm going to take a different road with you. Listen, let me start with respect and let me end with class, okay? You started out being very aggressive with Ja Morant Pops at a Laker game. If you are for black people, this is not the way to carry yourself. And let me go further than that. You wanted to be tough with Mike Epps, and you settled quicker than Diddy and Cassie. Listen. And thirdly, you call yourself coming at me, right? You want to be aggressive with me, right? Listen, you showed poise, respect, wherewithal, resolve, compassion, reverence for Skip Bayless. Why are you so aggressive anytime somebody black say something? The man said, put your glasses on, and you put your glasses back on.
Ooh.
Don't play with me. Put your glasses back on,
Shannon. The Trevor Jackson Podcast.
Now, all the angles that everybody else came at Skip, came at Shannon with the gay stuff and all of that. Nobody has ever came at him about how respectful he was with Skip. Shannon been talking about beating up Mike. Talking about putting hands on Mike Epps, putting hands on the black folk. But you know what? It shows to me, niggas know when to be obedient. Some people will say that Shannon was right for behaving that way so he can stay in corporate America and stay in position. When he put his glasses back on when he was around Skip. Some people will say, you lame. The same behavior that you displayed to Skip, you didn't give the same grace to a black man. Interesting, dog. That's interesting to me. That's interesting. People go on these platforms, man, like, salute to Cam and Mace on It Is What It Is. To be honest with you, Mace wasn't even the one talking about Shannon Sharp on that episode. It was Cameron. And Shannon threw the shot at Mace, and Mace responded back. I like that response. I ain't for beef. I ain't for black man beefing or whatever, but I like that response. That response was elegant and classy. It was classy. You got to know how to respond, man, when you dealing with individuals. Now, I'm a switcheroo into something. Somebody was telling me in my comment section recently that I talk too slow. That I'm talking like Forrest Gump. I react too slow. I'm sorry if you're not entertained, dog. If you can't watch the episode in full because I'm not hyped up bouncing around entertaining you. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to discuss the topics. I'm here to provoke thought. See what your perspective is on certain things and keep it moving. I'm not here to jump around and holler and yell and twerk on the microphone, man. This is a objective perspective podcast episode, and I'm just giving my perspective on the topics. And on this topic, man, about 4 or 5 episodes ago, I shouted Benzino out. I gave him credit. Everybody talking about artificial intelligence wrote his raps. I feel as if he smoked Eminem. Now, he did an interview on Drink Champs. I listened to the whole interview too. Benzino used to be the guy, man. Benzino used to be that boy in Boston, riding around 5'10" Fawns down the street. He got a nationally published magazine that is curating the culture. The only hip hop award show out, the Source Awards. Benzino was that boy. He had a record label. He had artists. He had a rap group. He was that boy. And he displayed who he was on that Drink Champs interview. I pause a lot, y'all, in my conversation because I don't be wanting to say dumb shit. I don't want to just be talking out the ass like a lot of these people just be talking. And he displayed who he was on Drink Champs. And I respected Benzino, man. Like, doing reality shows, I know he got to keep a check coming. Him doing these hosting gigs with these local artists in Atlanta, Georgia, and Tennessee, and all over the place, I know he got to keep a check coming. But damn, man, you was the boy at one point in time. And he was on Drink Champs. He said this, and I got something to say about Drink Champs, too, also, after this.
Eminem or Machine Gun Kelly?
Fuck Eminem, bro.
So which one?
Fuck Eminem, bro.
So which one?
Fuck both of them, bro. So I guess fucking Cassidy will kill Eminem in a battle rap, bro. Right. Why do y'all give Eminem so much props? Why? Why do y'all like Eminem? Because he's white? Is that it? Fuck that. We don't listen to that in the hood, bro.
A few moments later.
I don't got nothing against Eminem. Got nothing against them, but they can rap. But I care about us more. I don't want to go through. I don't want to talk about it no more. I don't want. For 22 years, every time I do an interview, they ask me about Eminem. The fuck you want me to do? Come on, man. I don't hate Eminem. I don't know him to hate him. I don't hate white people. I'm tired of this shit, man. It's just.
I frequent Drink Champs. I love Nori, man. I'm a fan of Nori. On my first album, I was talking about I'm a real nigga, like number five on Melvin Flint. Melvin Flint, man, the albums. The Capone and Noriega, The Reunion. Queensbridge Finest album where they showcased all the artists from Queensbridge with Nas, man. Be easy. Nori, the boy, though, man. But I drink on my podcast from time to time. You know what I mean? Menage a Trois Red. Shannon Sharp, he drink on his podcast from time to time. Ain't nothing wrong with drinking alcohol, man. Like, if you can control it. It's certain people who can't control it. They drink as if it's a sport. When your liver fall out your feet, nigga, sorry. But I ain't going to give a damn about it. You can't be drinking like it's a competition or a sport. Now, they go on Drink Champs, and they drink for 3 hours back to back. Now, you see, when he was sober, he was dissing Eminem. He was dissing him. He was holding back how he really felt because he was sober. He got tipsy. The nigga start crying and the truth came out. I think Benzino got mental health issues. And I think Drink Champs is going to have to alter some stuff. They're going to have to also alter some stuff. We love it for what it is. We love the conversations. Nori really doesn't do much research when he interviews people. He just plays the game or whatever. The rap game. And it's dope. I appreciate it. I like it. But you got to learn how to control your drinking, dog. Folks be making a fool out of themselves out here drinking. Real talk. Now, I'm going to play one of my records off my album. We're going to continue the conversation, man. Everyone's disgruntled. Real talk. And we're going to keep it moving in the podcast, man. I appreciate y'all for tuning in. Let's go.
If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. I had to get me something. I came up from nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. I had to get me something. I came up from nothing. I had to change my mental. Upgrade my credentials. How a nigga came up, it wasn't accidental. Now monumental, more like legendary. A player never worry, bump and pop. Hail Mary, trapped off a Blackberry. Ain't contrary to your belief. I made it out them streets, don't acknowledge beef. Kept the play discreet, we too unique. On the winning streak, spent a couple racks at the boutique. I wouldn't change nothing, I'm always me. Never took a plea, nigga, you a flea. I'm your OG, OG. He called me for
inspiration. Need a consultation, just make the payment for the conversation. If it's elevation or innovation, my expectation ain't limitation. You need a demonstration. My track record and reputation should be admiration. That's confirmation. I'm decoration for the trenches, off the benches. Jump the fences, no penny pinching. We off the hinges. Hit the shot, my team winning. The series clinching. You niggas finished. Never timid, I've been a menace. No old dog, and every day is printed. Haters living, cause my life changed. Should be happy, but you a real lame. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. I had to get me something. I came up from nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. I had to get me something. I came up from nothing. My lifestyle been kinda wild. Grew real foul, but mama proud. Seen a young child take off a style. Wavy nigga, no new now. When they hate, I kept a smile. But meanwhile, I'm stacking piles. Beef, we don't reconcile. My grind, yeah, it's versatile.
Right back to it, right back to it. What's popping, y'all? Switcheroo on the topic, man. We're going to talk about some hip-hop stuff and some contractual agreement stuff and some people not understanding business when it comes to hip-hop. And some of these individuals was probably too young to understand business. And I want to salute somebody also for understanding business and reaching the level and the status that they reached. But first, I want to go to this artist who writes records for artists. And I want to give a perspective before I play her clip of what I think. If you're a writer and you write for an artist and they pay you what you want, cash for your writing, do you think you should get some points still? Do you think you should get a percentage because you wrote it? Or you should just take the payment and let them have credit? Writing credits. Now, it could be a big artist, it could be a small artist. Now, and if you're writing for Beyonce, Michael Jackson, and you know this is going to reach the whole globe and you're going to get writing credits for it, do you think you should get 100% of the writing credits, or you're okay with them getting 15, 20% of the writing credits even though they didn't write a word? I just want to know y'all perspective on this because this is interesting to me, man.
Almost every artist that I have ever written for has gotten publishing on the record. Almost every record that I have done, I have written when the artist was not in the room. I'll go through my own songs. Replay. Zendaya got 10% of the publishing, I think. She did not write on the song. She didn't. That song was written at a Rihanna song camp. It was on hold for Rihanna. Then it was on hold for Rita Ora. Famous came to me and said, "Yo, Tiff, there's this artist named Zendaya. We should cut Replay on her." So Zendaya got publishing and writer credit. She did not write on Replay. King by Tamar Braxton. I wrote and produced that song. I wrote that song for myself as an artist in my living room. In my living room, Tamar got, I don't know what she ended up getting. I think I own like 85% of that song, but I should own all of it because I did all of it. She didn't write shit. Seven Streeter, who's a songwriter? This one really hurt my heart. Seven Streeter, just being honest. Me and Mansoor did that song. It was originally called Bitch. I wrote that song by myself. I'm not even really a big co-writer like that. I prefer writing songs by myself because, I don't know, I just prefer to write like that. So I have a lot of records that I have placed that either have one co-writer on or that I've written solo dolo, right? Seven ended up with 10% of that record. I fought like hell for her to not have any of the publishing because she didn't write anything on it. Publishing is my only source of income. I didn't even, and by the way, none of the artists that I've mentioned have a career anything close to in music, Beyonce.
You know, when you get paid for music, if y'all don't know, only the writer and the producer gets paid. Now, if I'm a big artist and you wrote a record for me, you wrote this record, right? I didn't produce nothing. I just sung it. Why would I give you 100% of the publishing and give the producer 100% of the production? That means I get nothing. And I put you in this position on this big platform. I feel as if Beyonce want 15% and she didn't write a word, she should get it. Because you could write that song and it go nowhere because ain't nobody paying you no attention. Only thing I got to say in closing on that is 100% of nothing equals nothing. These folks can put you in position. You write a song for me. It's not going to go where Beyonce going to take it to, dog. So give her 15%. You can take 100% from me because it ain't going. You ain't gonna make a dollar. So I don't understand what her gripes and complaints about. At the end of the day, that might be your only source of income. They might make more income from performing the song, radio play, all of this type of stuff. They might make more income, but at the end of the day, you should be thankful that those big artists even want to come to you. And they should be thankful that you're writing their records at the end of the day, too. We're getting up off of that topic. Let me salute somebody. I got to salute an artist from Tennessee. Big salute. Yo Gotti. What he done with CMG is unprecedented. Him putting Glorilla in position. Him putting Black Youngster in position. Moneybagg Yo. In position, buddy from the West Coast, ESTG, he got a roster, a main roster. Him investing in DC United, the soccer team. Coming up from driving those Chevys, charging $1,000 a verse, riding around Tennessee trying to get $1,000 a verse, man, to where he's at now, and I salute that. He's in the magazine, the Forbes, for reaching $100 million. As of recently. I know a lot of people be like, man, Trev, I thought you was riding with Dolph and all of this. You a Dolph guy. That's true. I rock with Dolph. I love what Dolph did independently. But I'm the type of person that I don't pick sides, man. I don't pick sides. And I celebrate greatness regardless. It's some people that'll say LeBron's the GOAT, Mike the GOAT. I just celebrate greatness. When you're doing something great, you deserve to be celebrated. And Yo Gotti's doing something great. And Forbes acknowledged him with the $100 million interview. $100 million. Big salute, dog.
I'm at a restaurant in New York and I'm talking to you. I'm like, man, and you asking all the questions. But I noticed you were silent every time I was talking. How do you process information?
I think information is the most valuable thing we can consume. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's never enough information. It could be wrong information, but it's never enough information. Meaning you can take it in from any place, any form, any walk of life, any race, male, female, anything. I take in information from anybody. There's nobody too small or too big that I can't get information from. Yeah. And then it's up to me to cipher through that information to see what's good for me to hold on to, what's good for me to use and apply to something that I'm doing. So I think everything is information. My whole life, since I was a kid, I remember sitting in the barbershop and just listening to people talk, you know. And I still like to be in the barbershop longer because that's where a lot of talking was happening at.
Oh, geez.
You know what I'm saying? So
they teach you.
And that barbershop was like around a lot of my hood that I grew up in. So, you know, I learned a lot of information just sitting there waiting to get my barber hurt cutting.
You know, they say you got two ears and one mouth for a reason. You should listen more than you speak. I agree with that, man, because information as he was speaking on. You can get information from a 3-year-old. You can learn something by their actions. Their actions, you can process something that they did, and it can take you to the next level. You can process information from a crackhead. I have before. And what you learn, you might not learn from a scholar or somebody with a master's degree. You might not have learned what you learned from that junkie or a homeless individual. Just be receptive to information, man, because we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. Listen. Listen. Value listening. I don't want to get to preaching, though, but salute to Gotti, man. Salute to the 100 mil, man. I remember meeting Gotti. Boy, I had on FUBU pants. The baggy ones with the Air Force Ones on and a chain on. Whew, times have changed. Real talk. Salute to them boys, though, at CMG. Now, I've had a discussion with my homeboy about streaming and platforms and why music will never be the same and how us paying $10 to $12 for subscriptions, those platforms are making billions of dollars, but they don't care about the artists. And what can we do to combat that? And should we create our own platform and all of that? So Juel Santana was on an interview speaking as of recently talking about why he hasn't released music. His reason was cool, but it sounded ignorant a little bit to me, like he haven't been researching. Because what he talked about has been done before. I remember when Hov created Tidal and he was letting artists have equity in Tidal as it grew in value. He was letting Nicki Minaj, Rihanna, Kanye West, all just put a part, a piece in this and we take it to the next level. But some artists, independent artists, would be like, he still was just paying 0.9% of a penny on the dollar. You know what I'm saying? So he was robbing us too, though. Man, it was more than what the other platforms was giving you. Folks gonna complain regardless. If you're gonna complain, create your own platform. Create your own website. Do your own thing. Soon I'm taking all my music down off of streaming services. And I'm putting everything that I create on the website. You can come view it. You don't have to view it. But everything that I create is gonna be on that website. And I want some more Juel Santana music. I want some more. I want to hear it. But he's trying to understand why he can't make the money he used to.
As artists, we complain about the pay of, like, you know, Spotify, Apple Music.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we just get together and create our own shit, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then pay each other what we want to pay each other for, the, you know what I mean? I'm just confused on why Nick is just, you know, like, I know, I can't, I don't have it even, I don't know where to start to do it. So mm-hmm. I feel like, right, it's, like, right, bigger than me. But you do have higher ups. Niggas that's up there, you know what I'm saying, that's right, doing shit. It's like, all right, cool. Why don't y'all make a streaming company and pay the artists what they deserve to get paid then?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And right, I'm sure all the artists will go over there instead of coming to, you know, some of these other streaming companies.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I don't even know.
I hear you. If you're complaining about it, what we doing to fix it?
You know? You know what he said? He said, I'm pretty sure all the artists will come over there, then go over here. It ain't about where the artists go. It's about where the consumer going, the people who consuming the music, because the consumer is what makes it valuable. The consumer is what makes it valuable. So if you not where the consumer is at, then you ain't going to make no money, dog. And as simple as that. You got to figure it out, Juel Santana, man. You're going to be 50 or 60 here soon and still trying to figure it out. Just release it. We just want to hear it, man. Figure something out in life. Now, here in North Carolina, it's an artist that once it was Batman and Robin, the baby and Stunner for Vegas. And he was asked about on an episode why him and the baby ain't together no more. Why you don't see them together no more. Why he went independent. And I'm not going to pull up no clip about that or whatever. I'm just going to talk for a moment because I don't want to dive too deep on that. Every artist that come in the game young seems like they're disgruntled. They're not happy with how things turned out. And it's starting to become like blah. If you don't want to get beat, don't get in the game. Because at that age that most of the young folks get in the game, they don't know no better. They don't know about business. They get robbed. Either your parents got to figure it out and help you out along the way, or you just got to get beat, keep it moving, get out your deal, get knowledgeable about business, and keep it moving, dog. That's all I'm going to say about Stunner for Vegas. Keep it moving, dog. Real talk. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something before I go, because I appreciate everybody that tune into the podcast and tune in and subscribe to my channel. In the future, I'm going to start interviewing more guests. The near future, I'm going to interview more individuals. It's not going to be no homeboys, no local rappers. I want people that's educational, that has something to say, that has a voice in their community, that says something with value. I'm not talking about who featured on your album. I don't want to talk about no raps, nobody rap album. I don't want to talk about no sports, none of that. I need educational individuals on the show that has something to say. Now, and if you want to be a part of this situation, in the description will be my email for business purposes only. Let's link up. Let's make it happen. Let's get to it. In-person conversations, man. And I got a few already lined up. If y'all enjoy them, come be a part of the La Familia, man. Thank y'all for tuning in to the show. Peace, love, plenty of abundance. Make sure you go get you some money and I'm gone. Chill.
I ball like Kobe 2-4. Niggas didn't want me to blow. It was all a dream for show. Now I'm up and not looking back. Did the racks, now it's deposits. Life is good when you have options. Niggas cap, never been popping. The diamonds ain't real, player, just stop it. All we do is the VV. Shine so bright, the lanes can't see me. Been notorious, no biggie. Did the Louis, now I'm in Pucci. Yo, chicka groupie, act unruly. Niggas goofy, always moody. I'm a dog, call me Scooby. To this gang, you niggas newbies. At Benny's, I just want sushi. Left the streets when shit got spooky. Kept it real, that was my duty. My team keep Drake's, I told the Uzi. Director of my own movie. Make sure the business runs smoothly. Yours truly been evolved. Beef I had won't be resolved.
Jackson Podcast.